Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 104 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. For those of you that are new to the show, I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association, and through my Everything Coworking brand, I use my broad industry experience and exposure to help people start and run coworking spaces that meet their personal and financial goals. Related to that, for those of you that have opted in to receive coworking startup school details, I owe you a big apology. So I ran the startup school live last year three times, and then I decided to update the format to be a hybrid model of online and live content and support. So I thought I'd have this done by the end of 2018, and it took longer than I expected. And I should have known that. So when I work with my business coach on scheduling out things, well, a couple of different coaches that I've had over time, they always tell me whatever I think I should multiply it by two because I'm terrible at estimating how much time things take. My husband calls this an overconfidence bias, that it's well-intentioned, but I think I can do things a lot faster than I can. And I'm pretty fast, but I just get really excited and things can get done or forget about dependencies and life things that happen. So that was part of it, just overestimating or underestimating how long it would take. And then the other piece is that I'm not sure I've ever mentioned this, but my undergrad degree was in organizational communication and learning design. Totally unrelated to coworking, but totally related to teaching people how to start coworking spaces. So I think my life has converged into this very interesting point of bringing together lots of different aspects of my background. Now, where I went wrong is letting all of that live in my head instead of sharing that with you. If I was starting a coworking space and I had a waiting list for memberships and my construction was delayed, you'd better bet I'd be sending an email once a week letting people know what the status is and giving them a little pep talk and trying to be really transparent. And instead of doing that, I just sort of, you know, went into hiding and did my work and managed all the other demands of my life without sharing with folks on my list. This was not a good move. So if you were on my waiting list, a huge apology to you. The good news is that we're just about ready to roll. I will start releasing update emails this week, and the registration for the next coworking startup school will go live on March 19th. So not too much longer to wait. If you aren't already on the list but would like to actually get the updates, go to www.coworkingstartupschool.com. I look forward to sharing lots more details with you. Okay, now diving into the latest episode. Today, I'm talking with Jacob Bates, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Common Grounds Workplace. They are currently open in Carlsbad, California, Long Beach, California, San Jose, California, and Denver, but they are on an aggressive growth plan to add 2 million square feet across 50 locations in the next 2 years. All of this is made possible by a $100 million capital raise that they recently finalized. I would like to share, though, that for a team that has made no small plans, they are open, approachable, and carry no egos about what they are trying to create. I also have to mention that their Director of Growth and Strategy, Craig Lober, joined their team after meeting them at the GWA conference in Brooklyn in 2017. Just an example that big things can happen at conferences. Make sure you mark your calendar for this year's conference in Washington, D.C., September 18th through the 20th. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Jacob. All right, today I am talking with Jacob Bates, Chief Executive Officer of Common Grounds Workplace. He is coming to us from Miami today, and we'll talk to him about his expansion plans. Jacob, I'm super excited to catch up today. I think the last time I saw you in person, we were drinking lattes at that little local coffee shop that Craig found us near the San Francisco airport, which is probably a little over a year ago. So it's been a while that, since we've caught up, and you have had so much happening in your business since then. So I'm really excited to catch up and share with our listeners what's happening at Common Grounds.
Likewise, Jamie. Thank you so much for having us. So we definitely have been busy and love to share a little bit about that. We missed that little coffee shop. That was a good little spot.
I know. I love Craig. So I got to see Craig and your Carlsbad location in January. We were down there for a meeting, and it was a holiday. I think it must have been Martin Luther King Day, and they were closed for the day, but he met us at the space and gave us a tour, which is really great. So he's so hospitable. He's in the right place. He loves what he's doing and seemed very excited about all the plans. So let's kind of go through, you know, your personal story a little bit and then the Common Ground story. So you have an interesting background kind of in the space. You were director of global workplace solutions for CBRE and director of global real estate and workplace at Nike. So you have this occupier real estate perspective that's a little bit unusual, especially on the operator side. So I'd love to hear just like a little bit about your personal background, you know, color in a little bit for us your journey and how did those experiences lead you into co-working?
Perfect. Yes. The experiences have definitely kind of engineered our product at Common Grounds. And spending almost 20 years in the occupier world with companies like Nike and Cigna, and Unity Technologies in the Bay Area, you know, running 10 to 20 million square feet around the world and being involved in all the different fundamentals of real estate, we used, you know, shared workplace, flexible workplace providers, you know, all across the world. And what we found was there was always a disconnect between the brand and the culture and the enterprise-grade environment that was necessary for, you know, occupiers. And so coming from that lens, I always had felt this feeling like I was sending talent, and in this day in the war for talent, which is such a big thing for a lot of these corporations, it was kind of sending them to this distant relative and, you know, across the planet that they've never met before. And they'd come back to the HQ and, you know, wherever that was, San Francisco or New York or Chicago or LA, and they would feel like they were a little bit disconnected in what they were receiving from a complete workplace experience perspective. And so having that experience from the occupier side has been very helpful in coming to the workplace as a service side and being able to create a product for the next generation of this industry.
Okay, so tell me the story. What was the evolution of how did you go from the occupier side to starting a co-working space?
Yes, absolutely. So what I found was, you know, the last 10 years, I would study some of the occupiers' portfolios that I was working in. And throughout these portfolios, what we found is in the downturns, there would always be corrections and there'd always be restructuring happening. But restructuring our leasing portfolio was much more challenging when there was a down cycle. And likewise, in a growth cycle, it was very, very challenging for us to really pivot ourselves in a place that, again, we found a way to be able to compete for talent, align the business strategies with the growth. And so coming, you know, that evolution of going from the servicing side and managing, you know, multinational portfolios with CBRE, going to the occupier side with Cigna and Nike and Unity, and then looking at the world and seeing kind of the evolution of workplace changing and changing in a very rapid manner towards this workplace as a service mentality and seeing an opportunity there where there really wasn't a product out there that was ready for the Fortune 1500s of the world to adopt this product in a very, very big way. And so, you know, I go back to that story where I was presented to one of the boards of one of the occupiers I was working for and showed how if we took 30% of our portfolio and put it into some sort of flexible workplace product, we could begin to straight line our portfolio because those leases in a upcycle or downcycle, they always trailed 36 to 48 months, and it became very, very challenging for us. And putting not all of our portfolio, and I don't ever see occupiers doing that, but putting a percentage of it began to allow us to kind of straight line and manage it in much better fashion.
You must have been early in that view.
I was definitely laughing. Someone showed me a quote from Gandhi yesterday. I don't quite remember it exactly, but it was something like, you know, they laughed at you.
Right.
And then later on, they kind of were like, oh yeah, you were right.
I was going to say, you must've gotten some looks because to talk about 30% in flex office, this must've been years ago.
It was years ago, 8 to 10 years ago. And
okay, that long ago.
I mean,
right.
I was absolutely speaking Greek.
Yep. Because even today, that's not widely adopted. I think the view is we're moving in that direction, but most corporate real estate and even the brokerages are still not quite there yet. Is that, would you agree
with
that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I 100% agree with that. I think that adoption will continue over the next, 10 years.
Yep.
But back then it was Greek. Today it's, maybe they're understanding it more and they understand they need to understand it. I think that's probably one of the ways to say it.
Yeah. But right. It's not common language to be talking about the 30% yet. I mean, I think, they think the forward looking sort of future predictors would see that coming. But okay. So you see this 8 to 10 years ago. How did you sort of come over to the provider side?
So I have a deeper relationship with the investors that are involved in Common Grounds. And I wanted to get into the flexible space world. And coming from the investors, the founders of Common Grounds wanted to get this started. They also saw some similarities and shared a similar vision. They also shared the vision of, we want to really provide an opportunity for companies to grow of all different sizes, whether that's an entrepreneur, or whether that's a startup or a Fortune 1500. And being able to connect with them and share, a unique and similar vision really allowed us to get started in a way that I think we're going to be able to make a difference.
So how long have you been with Common Grounds?
It's been about almost 2 years, coming up on 2 years.
Okay. Wow. You guys are moving quickly.
We are. We definitely are.
Okay. So let's talk about the Common Grounds brand and kind of where it's been and where it's going. And I mean, I would really love to dive in kind of the details. Who are you serving? What makes you different? What have you integrated into your experience that you think really shines through for the occupier? I only saw your Carlsbad location, which I think was your first location. It's beautiful.
That's right.
Super, well-designed and some unique amenities. So I can, testify that it's a beautiful space and I definitely see the appeal, but I'd love to hear you talk about the brand and where it is and where it's going.
Definitely. So, Common Grounds, we're an enterprise grade workplace as a service environment. It's really built towards, the Fortune 1500, Global 2000, the unicorns of the world. But at the same time, we're also providing an environment for the micro entrepreneurs, the sole entrepreneurs, the startups of the world who are already adopting this product. They adopted it in a very big way, the early adopters, over the last decade. And we're providing a professional and kind of an upscaled enterprise-grade environment for them. And so that's who Common Grounds is today. Some of the things we've done that we believe are unique and differentiating, and this is kind of pulling back in from my corporate real estate days on the occupier side, is we're building an environment that is truly enterprise-grade. And some of the stories I tell is, you go back into my CRE days and we would use, different shared flexible work spaces all across the world. And as we grow or contract in those markets, the space didn't adapt to our needs. And it was very, very onerous for us to, let's remove this wall, let's build an office within an office, or there just wasn't room for us to grow in that office. And it became very, very, struggling for us from a growth or contracting perspective, or from a brand and cultural perspective. And so something we've done at Common Grounds is really spend a lot of time and attention and detail with our 10-person in-house design and architecture team on truly building the future, workplace as a service enterprise-grade environment. And so what does that mean, really? Well, you could take it all the way from the data network infrastructure. So we have a preferred enterprise customers of ours who, I go back in my corporate real estate days, I put on my CRE hat, I would call different companies and operators, and we would take space with them, and we would have to send in our IT director in order to, get a dedicated fiber, set up some VPNs, throw up in some firewalls, maybe some systems in the rack. And that was a process that took time and it was costly. And we have an enterprise customer who came from that and they thought that that's what they would experience with Common Grounds. We let them know that they wouldn't. They sent 4 people to the location that they took to work for 4 days. They worked for 4 hours. And, that's one example. Another example is they asked us to, hey, let's take out, about a couple hundred linear feet of wall, roughly 22 walls. And so we use a demountable wall system called Techno out of Italy. And we have an exclusive relationship with Techno and the shared space world for this product. It's a truly amazing product. I've never been a huge fan of demountable walls over my career, And I never felt like they were necessarily engineered the way that they could be from
be
a professional.
Truly flexible. Yeah. And have all of the attributes that you need with sound management, et cetera.
Absolutely. Acoustics are such a big part in these spaces. Yep. But this system and partnership we have with Techno is truly unique in that the system that they've engineered and designed is the acoustics were unbelievable. There weren't any worse. They actually were better in a lot of cases than some of your, you know, dry and gyp walls that are built in some of these spaces. But when I first saw it, I didn't think it was demountable. I thought it was contract commercial grade because the aesthetic looked amazing, which is something that I think these systems have gotten a bad rap for in the past as well. And what we did with this enterprise customer was we were able to give them a, quote, an opportunity to remove those 22 walls and do it in 14 business days and accomplish it for a very nominal amount. And in my previous life, when I would go to try to remove one wall, it would cost me, you know, six figures, it would take 90 days to complete.
Right.
And it just didn't work. And that process didn't work for an on-demand, all-inclusive environment, especially for some of these occupiers who are beginning to adopt this in a big way. They're going to want something that really, truly is on-demand and is enterprise-grade. It's something that they would build for themselves.
Talk a little bit about your future model with access to this exclusive system. So the Carlsbad location that I saw looks, you know, more traditional co-working. What will the spaces look like in order or be in terms of size? Will you do more sort of flexible suite type locations that allow for that flexibility and to really leverage the capabilities of the wall?
We will. So we have two products. We have our workplace as a service product, which quote unquote is co-working.
Yep.
I'm not a huge fan of the work because we don't believe it really describes what's happening in the built environment. But it's our workplace workspace product, and it's not too dissimilar to what you're seeing with some of the other operators. Our other product is an HQ as a service product.
Okay.
And that's much more, so the workplace product is where you're sharing certain amenities, sharing certain services, and our HQ as a service product is a proprietary kind of suite environment that's designed and built based upon all of the customer's needs and has some of the proprietary all-inclusive services that they are looking to have.
Got it. So do you anticipate that being a, like, you sign a lease model, or is this a landlord partnership model?
Great question. So it's kind of two things. And one of the other unique differentiators of Common Grounds, we are partnering with landlords. And so we're partnering with owners all across the world. We've developed relationships with nearly 500 million square feet of owners across the U.S. today. And so we are in a partnership with them. We're really kind of aligning them with the asset. We think that's beneficial for our customers too. As our customers grow and perhaps want to grow out of the flexible workplace environment, it provides them an opportunity to have a direct relationship with an owner who may be able to solve for a longer, more conventional and traditional need. And the headquarters of the service product and the workplace product are definitely your 3 year or less product. And that ties in with a number of different factors. You know, it's a subscription-based model and it's FASB comes online this year and next year.
Yep.
That's going to become a critical component for some of these companies to consider with at least having to be on their balance sheet.
Yep. So locations, tell us kind of what's on in the market today and what's coming online shortly.
We have many we're going to announce. I don't want to spoil too many of them. They'll be, you know, we have about 10 in construction. Those are on our website and some of them are still very West Coast dominant. We're going to open Salt Lake City with an open house here in a couple of weeks. And we have roughly 35 in development spread across anywhere from Seattle to Miami, where I am today, to New York. And we'll be making those announcements probably in the next 30, 60 days or sooner. And, you know, the goal here is a couple million feet over the next 24 months and really kind of building out a portfolio, a new product of service for, you know, the Fortune 1500 global enterprises and those who are looking for a different environment than what perhaps they've had over the last 10 years.
Question on the HQ as a service product, which makes a ton of sense. Is that branded Common Grounds or is that like a powered by? What does that look like?
It's much more of a powered by, but even in a workplace environment, we're pretty subtle about the Common Grounds branding.
Yep.
I think we want people to know they've arrived at Common Grounds, but then we want it to kind of subtly fade away and really be much more about the members and their companies, their organizations. The HQ as a service is 100% a brandable environment for them. We're not real concerned at all about, you know, our brand being on the built environment there. It's much more about them. You know, with our Techno system too, we've come to a place where it's not just glass. These aren't just double glazed, you know, glass walls with amazing acoustics and great engineering. They can also be solid panels. They could be black, white, blue, yep. gray, purple, pink, whatever
wow. the brand color is. Total flexibility.
Total flexibility yeah. that to bring their brand, their culture into that environment and really allow it to be something that, you know, they would almost build for themselves.
Except better, because... So talk about your design team. How do they engage in the headquarters as a service product?
Great question. So they do. They do engage. We have a couple of customers that are engaging with them now, where they're coming in and saying, look, we want space for 200-300 people in this market. And that's one of our growth strategies as well. It's, you know, while we've identified the top 30 markets across the U.S. that we will put Common Grounds into and probably multiple locations in some of those markets, some of our customers have come to us and said, hey, we want to be in this market with a couple of hundred people. We want to build the HQ as a service model. And they're sitting down with our design and architecture team, coming up with what is the percentage of, you know, their needs from a culture and brand and yeah. work perspective. What are the typologies of spaces that they're going to require for the work and the talent that's going to be working there? And then what is it, the other percentage of it, to still keep it, you know, Common Grounds per se, you know, some with our hackable environments.
Yeah.
So that our enterprise grade technology, in order to, you know, when they do, if and when they do, you know, lift up and leave and need to go someplace to expand or do something else, the environment still is adapting and be able to hack it back to where we can bring another customer into the space.
So if you have an existing customer that wants, you know, as you referred to kind of earlier, you know, adjust and expand, contract, you know, restructure the layout of the space depending on their business needs, is your design team sort of on call for them when they need to do that? Is that kind of, how does that process work?
They are. So I mean, with the 10-person team that's growing as we speak, they sit down with the customer, understand what they need from the environment. First, this is the layout of the space. Next, the brand. And the brand's going to play to, you know, different color palettes, furniture needs, you know, different images or brandable moments within the space. And then they're going to, you know, that's not only with the design team, then they'll sit down with our operations and workplace experience team
yep.
and look to understand the service and hospitality level that they're going to want for their talent in that space.
Do you, in the headquarters as a service product, supply staff? Like, is it a community manager, hospitality type coordinator, or is that typically brought in by the client?
It's a kind of a hybrid. Either way, or it could be a hybrid. One of the situations we have today, it's a hybrid where we do have staff there. And this enterprise customer of ours also prefers to have some of their own staff, but they do want some Common Ground staff there for support. And we've got some where they say, you know, you staff it, we're good.
Yep.
And I think that's how a lot of, you know, I think we kind of go back to my CRE days. We outsourced real estate, transactions, design, construction, facilities, project management to, you know, some of the bigger brokerage houses of the world. But now what you're seeing is a gravitation towards outsourcing workplace. And it's just complete outsource. Look, I need, in this space as a service, I need to outsource my workplace and you make it all inclusive, labor, everything.
Right. I mean, the experience you're creating around that, I mean, we're seeing that happen a little bit in the marketplace, but I think so exciting for occupiers to, I mean, I just am sort of picturing the experience of sitting down and the excitement of like, we can create this flexible workspace, like on our terms, you know, with a beautiful, you know, brand and beautiful design. And we've got a team that's there to support our needs. I mean, it's amazing how far you've taken this vision from 8 to 10 years ago when people were looking at you like you might have had three eyes.
I mean, back then, definitely, I was laughed out of the rooms. I was looked at like, you know, that'll never happen. Real estate's never going to change. The world is going to continue to be the way that it is. We've seen a very massive escalation in a lot of ways with prop tech, you know, workplace as a service, and a number of different things coming online that are definitely changing the evolution of work. Not only, I think the way people worked kind of changed first. And, you know, I think millennials and a lot of other Gen Xers and Gen Zers can give a lot of credit to that. Technology can give a lot of credit to that. The work definitely changed. And the built environment is finally catching up. And I think that's, you know, back then I was looked at, you know, as a mutant. And
yeah,
if I was an X-Man, I would have been put into jail and pulled up as crazy. But today I think you're seeing a lot of those things come to evolution, and coming from that corporate real estate world, And seeing that trend, I definitely wanted to create, come to Common Grounds and create an environment that would begin to support some of my vision and passions for, you know, bringing that new built environment to the forefront.
So I'm curious about your perspective because of your background in corporate real estate, and then you were able to find financial partners that really saw your vision and believed in it and said, yeah, let's go after this. I had a conversation with somebody in the industry recently who was just feeling super frustrated about kind of the pace at which some of the industry is adopting. Like you're talking about 30% of a portfolio. There are still, you know, big landlords that are no, you know, a half a percent, you know, who are really not wanting to kind of go into that flexible offering and not, you know, sort of putting the earmuffs on what's happening in the industry, even the bigger players and financial markets, you know, kind of playing a role in slowing that down. What are you seeing kind of on that landscape, and how long do you think it'll be before things start to speed up a little bit there?
I've sat down with a number of different owners over the last, you know, year, and definitely had some conversations still where you come back to, you know, the days where I started talking to the board and I'm still a mutant. And they're not quite there yet. There's a lot of them that are. And there are a lot of owners who definitely, when we present our presentation and how we're different and how we truly align with them and create a partnership with them to integrate and bring different services and different place products to their buildings, they're very intrigued and they're very wanting to make this happen for their customers, for their community, for their assets and their portfolio. The capital markets, they're going to take a bit longer. They're going to be, you know, I read an article yesterday on co-living and how co-living is actually having a lot of acceleration and having the capital markets change their opinion about even that product, and how multifamily has always been backward valued. So they've always had a little bit of an edge and advantage in that regard.
Yeah.
Co-living is a new, you know, environment with that. And the capital markets are beginning to catch on and notice that, look, we can get more per square foot out of our assets through co-living than traditional multifamily. Hopefully that's going to be a driver for the workplace world and helping the capital markets understand that this truly is backward valued, a lot like your hotels or your multifamily or your parking. If you value it and look at it from that same lens, it actually has a different cap rate to it and can be more valuable than an asset. It's going to take them, in my opinion, probably another 5-10 years to probably get there.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll see, you know, maybe the co-living environment help kind of accelerate that a little bit.
And well, the co-living is longer term, right? Somebody's not signing a 30-day lease.
It's not too different. They're signing, you know, 1 and 2 year agreements, which we're seeing in the workplace world as well. We're
yeah. A lot, I mean, that's a great, right. Great point. In reality, 10-year is longer than, right. It's not a 30-day tenure in reality.
It is. And I think as you look at the hotel world, those are day contracts. And
yep.
Workplace world or the co-living world, you're getting even month to 3 year contracts. It's much more stable. They're just not giving it the credit it deserves yet. And they'll come around eventually. The smart ones will, and they'll be well rewarded for it, I believe.
Yeah. So we'll hang in there. So let's talk about your fundraising. So you just recently raised $100 million to help fund your expansion plans. Was that the plan from the beginning? I'm just curious about kind of the, you've only been doing this for a couple of years, but, you know, I think a lot of operators kind of start and want to build a brand and have a big vision, but, you know, not many have kind of gone after that sizable of a raise. So talk a little bit about that process.
It wasn't necessarily the plan at the beginning. The investors and founders behind us, they definitely were passionate about where this industry was going and saw a opportunity to create a very unique and differentiated product. What happened as we sat back and continued to evaluate and look at the landscape, look at our shared vision and passion for the future work and the ability to continue to be a part of that, we looked at it and said, this is a very unique, very amazing opportunity at this point in time to really jump in and make a big difference. And so the investors really got behind it. They became very, and the investors, I think it's important to speak about their backgrounds. And, you know, I think you can go and read and Google about them. They come from that real estate cloth, you know, that 30, 40 years of real estate, you know, development, ownership, and really come from a very traditional, conventional cloth, but they see the world also changing and they see the opportunity to be a leader in that change. And so they've grabbed onto this and said, look, what's built the last 10 years in this industry is not what is going to be built in the next 10 years in this industry. And we've talked a little bit about that today with the HQs of service products, the corporates beginning to adopt and really come into this space in a very big way. And that's going to be a very different product that was built the last 10 years. And the investors saw that opportunity. They saw the opportunity as a traditional real estate investor to begin to invest in something that's going to not only change the future of officing and evolve the future work, but really make a difference in how we go about it.
They sound amazing. And they gave you a big chunk of change to go after it. I feel like you kind of got into this, you sort of, you know, flipped your side of the equation at the right time, because I think to your point, it's been such an interesting, you know, and fast 10 years, but the next 10 years will be such an evolution of what has started. It's going to be so much fun to be a part of that. And you guys are well armed to sort of play out your vision.
We're definitely excited about it. We're excited about it. And you know, the investors are here. They'll be here for Series B when we're ready to raise and announce that. And you know, we may bring other investors to the table. We may not. They're definitely supportive and very much behind us. And we're looking forward to being able to make a difference.
So tell us a little bit about, people will wonder when you raise $100 million, what happens to your life and what does a week in the life of Jacob Bates look like these days?
It's a lot of airplanes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we definitely at Common Grounds, one of our things is we're working to revolutionize work life. And we're big believers in being able to support a work life environment that supports all the different individuals and customers of Common Grounds. And, you know, personally for me, as I'm raising, you know, a 2-year-old son, I'm looking at the future of work and the future of officing for him. And for him, I want him to be able to have a work life and a work environment that's going to be able to support him and his generation. And today, I don't know that it quite exists yet. I think we're working to build that today. But at Common Grounds, we're very much in favor of, you know, I don't like to call it balance, work-life balance. Yeah. I don't believe that that exists today.
I think especially not for you right now.
Yeah. It's very integrated, but you find those moments to, I think for me, it's really about being present.
Yeah.
And it's being about being present in those moments. And so when I'm with my 2-year-old and with my family, you know, I'm at work, it's about being present in that moment and giving it your all and giving it your best. And when it's time to go to that next part of your life or your work, just be present in that moment. And I think that's going to allow you to find, if you want to use the word balance or harmony, I think those are okay words. But for me, it's really about finding that presence. And we've, you know, myself and I, Common Grounds, we're really pushing hard to help people say it's okay, be present in the moment. And if you need to step away for something for that's around your life, then go do that and be present in that moment with life. Because if you don't, you're going to be distracted. And when you're done with that life moment, you're done with that work moment, then come back and be present. And that will help you be, that will remove the friction. And at Common Grounds, we're really trying to focus on removing friction. I've spent years trying to think about how can you, you know, everybody, it's like the golden ticket. Can you figure out how to measure productivity in the workplace? And I think we've all decided we can't. But what we can measure is friction. Mm. If we can remove friction, then hopefully we're making a difference in people's lives. And if we're making a difference, then hopefully we're giving them the opportunity to be present in whatever that work-life moment is at that point in time.
I love that way of looking at it. And I suspect kind of your vantage point from the CRE side and that being part of your role, like probably you saw a lot of friction 8 to 10 years ago with the offerings that were out there and the talent that you were kind of putting in the distant relatives space and having, you know, too much friction there and it not being such a special experience. So it's, yeah, it's an amazing evolution. I love thinking about it that way. And it is sort of amazing to think about what life will look like for your 2-year-old when he enters the workforce.
It's amazing to think about the jobs.
There will be a lot of screens.
The technology, we can't even fathom what it will be like. And the jobs for his generation, most of them don't exist yet.
Right.
And therefore the education doesn't exist yet. So there's a huge opportunity to really work towards removing friction and trying to create an environment for them that will be productive and allow them to have some sort of work life.
So talk about, so a lot of planes for you. What does the growth for your team look like? Where is the hiring focused right now?
We're hiring everywhere. We're living and breathing what we do. We have people all over the US. I think while we're based in headquarters in Carlsbad, I would say at this point, the size of our HQ team, maybe a third of it is in Carlsbad today. And we're really spread out, from San Francisco to Chicago to Atlanta to Philadelphia and New York. We're definitely looking to hire the best talent that we possibly can. And location isn't as much of a concern for us. It's more about the talent. It's more about the fit and the passion for what we're trying to achieve. And that's what we're looking to do.
I think we're really fortunate to be in this industry because when you talk about kind of not pursuing work-life balance per se, to be able to pursue something you really believe in and with people that are so excited about making this change, it's a different type of work. Okay, so I'm going to kind of start to wrap up with maybe a bit of a challenging question. How do you think, and I ask this because it's such a hot topic, everybody's sort of pontificating about what this will look like. What do you think the workspace as a service industry will look like after an economic downturn, sort of short term and long term?
I believe it will have its bumps, like any industry, whenever there is a downturn, and a downturn is only inevitable. It will come, it will happen. But I think it's going to be one of the industries that also excels out of it in a very, very, very quick manner. I think it's got a lot of wind at its backs. If you look at the space, workplace as a service industry, it started in a recession. It didn't really start in a recession. A lot of people think this thing started 10 years ago. It started 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And a number of different operators, it just looks different.
Yeah.
But it got a lot of acceleration in the last great recession. And you saw a lot of entrepreneurism, a lot of startups happening. And I think the next wave of this in another cycle in the industry, and there's still a lot of wind. And the wind is at the back of corporates. They have a number of different catalysts that are going to push them into this type of environment.
Yep.
I think we will see a little bit of correcting in the units that are smaller, that have kind of built their environment much more for the gig and freelance economy. I think that we may see some growth there. We may see a little bit of bumps along the way in terms of those maybe going back to Starbucks or back to home for a little while.
Yeah.
The corporates have a number of catalysts behind them with, FASB, the Financial Accounting Standard Board's changes, with capital deployment. In a recession, corporates aren't going to want to deploy $20, $30, $100 million of capital to build out an environment or commit to a lease for 10 or 15 years. They're going to shy from that. And they're going to want shorter, much more flexible term arrangements and not be deploying capital. They'd rather spend that capital on their talent, other people, and on technology. And we're also seeing an operational correction happening. We talked a little bit about this, where the outsourcing industry has gone from outsourcing tactical and fundamentals of real estate to outsourcing the entire workplace.
Experience, yeah.
And the experience has become about it. And there's always been this saying over my career, oh, real estate's your top 2 or 3% of your spend as a corporate. And that's true in most cases, but it's actually still an incredibly small amount. And if your talent is your biggest amount. And so making sure that you're providing an experience for your talent to attract and retain them is incredibly important. And I think those are the things that are at the back of corporates to begin to, I don't think this industry is going to be 30% of all the office sector, the office in every market. I think that some have reported, I think it's somewhere between roughly 10%. But I think corporates on an average be somewhere in that 30%. You may have a financial services industry be in the 10%. You may have a unicorn who's maybe in the 40 or 50%. So I think on average, that operational correction, as they begin to push some of their portfolio into this type of product and maintaining their core headquarters locations as fixed proprietary
yep.
assets, I think that's where the evolution is going to happen. And I think that will be the wave that kind of kicks this off into the next generation of workplace as a service.
Yeah, I think we may be glass half full people to be answering that question, but we had a board meeting in Salt Lake a couple of weeks ago, and one of our board members, we were talking about the impact of a recession. And he really echoed what you just described, and he used the term, you said, the wind will be at the back of the corporates. And he said kind of something similar. He used the term slingshot. He said, I think a recession could slingshot corporate use of flexibility. Now, you said you made the point that oftentimes there's a lag, you know, in what you can get out of in a recession. You know, you may have leases that you're slow to move out of because you have commitments. But to your point, not signing new leases and then going through an experience of having, you know, Common Ground's headquarters as a service product, you're not going back from that, right? So there won't be a reversal of, you know, let's put everybody back into boring corporate stock after you've experienced, you know, a new type of product that's really great for talent. So
absolutely. I mean, the genie's not going back in the bottle this time.
Right.
That's not happening this time. And so, yeah. You know, you're worth having preferred customers come to us already and ask us to take on some of their existing leases and convert it to HQ as a service, manage the space for them. And that's an evolution that you're going to see. So slingshot, I think it's a fair term. We're trying to be a little more conservative about it, but we definitely are opportunistic. And, you know, I think we believe it's going to be an evolution for the entire industry.
Yeah. Good. Well, on that optimistic note, thank you for spending time today and talking about the Common Grounds brand and its evolution and kind of what we're seeing in the future as you leverage the investment that you just secured. So it was great to catch up. Thanks again for your time. And we'll have to have you on in another year. I can only imagine what the next year will look like for the brand and the experience. So look forward to watching that grow.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jamie. It's been a pleasure. We appreciate you taking the time. And we'd love to come on in a year and see where we're at and see where things are going. I think there'll be a lot of things to talk about in a year from now. It'll be fun to look back and also look forward.
Perfect. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.